This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
My memory serves me correctly. It says, he said these words, that I may know him and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your sufferings be made conformable unto your death. Isn't it amazing how all those years that Paul served the Lord, seen him on the road to Damascus, had all those miracles, seen how God delivered him through shipwreck, he still said those words, that I may know him. So we're going to discover the Lord, I think, a little more today on this journey this morning. If we'll turn your attention to the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. I discovered something new today myself. Something happened to me getting ready for church. I was walking around through the house barefoot, and a spider ran out, about a medium-sized spider ran out on the floor. And so my natural reaction was to just reach out and step on it. And I missed. And it got caught between my big toe and my middle toe. So don't do that. Make sure you got shoes on your feet. Amen. We're going to have a good time in the Lord today. I feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Keying in on verse 13, where it says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And I want you to kind of maybe highlight this, because this is where I'm really going to focus this message on. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To the measure, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My title this morning is called A Full Dose of Vitamin C. Full Dose of Vitamin C. God bless you, can be seated this morning. I believe this morning I can speak for most of us. I hope I can. I believe that most of us are really ready for this Arctic Express to derail. Can I get amen? This polar vortex that's happening right now has sucked the very life out of me. I don't know about you, because my body is confused. You wake up, you know, at one moment it's 65 and it's hot, or, you know, in the next minute it's 35 and the wind's blowing 20, 25 miles an hour. I mean, this body doesn't know how to react. I mean, Thursday was really unusual. I go to work and I'm freezing to death to start off with, because I'm in my company truck. Y'all know what I drive. And I was freezing, and I get out and work, and it started sleeting, and I'm having to work out in the cold, and then after lunch, the sun's out again. And I mean, this Louisiana weather is something, isn't it? No wonder we're all sick, and we all got chills, and we got aching bones, and can I get amen? Am I preaching to you this morning? And which brought to memory, with all these colds and viruses and the changes in the weather, it kind of brought to memory, I had begin to think about some things that my grandparents taught me. I spent most of my Saturdays as a young boy spending the night, Friday night, at my grandparents' house. And one of the things that they taught me was, especially this time of year, with all the changes in the Louisiana weather, that you need a full dose of vitamin C. And so my grandfather was very adamant about eating certain things and drinking certain things. And so he taught me every day that I need to drink a glass of orange juice. And so he wanted to make sure that I had every day a daily dose of vitamin C. And with that in mind, I feel that we, as a body of believers, must make sure that we have a full dose of some things.
Well, that's the truth.
You see, We need something to combat this changing climate. I'm not talking about the weather right now. I'm talking about the winds of doctrine. See, we just read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, he talked about winds of doctrine here. He talked about how that many are being tossed to and fro by men that are crafty, men that are deceitful, men that are lying in wait to deceive thousands, no doubt millions. And so many Christians are really, believe it or not, many Christians are like the Louisiana weather. Man, they're red hot one moment, and then the next moment they're as cold as ice. Amen. And so, brethren, this ought not to be. We ought to be on fire for God every day. I could go to Revelation where it talks about how God doesn't like even lukewarmness. We got to be red hot on fire for God. Amen. So I believe my grandparents were on to something when they told me that I need a full dosage of vitamin C, because I believe we need to be full of some things. And we're going to talk about that for a few moments. We need some vitamins in our life. A vitamin is simply, a vitamin that by definition is a natural resource that's usually found in foods that keep the body healthy. It's a nutrient that we need in our lives to keep us healthy. So as I got prepared for this lesson this morning, I found some vitamins that can keep our spiritual man healthy as well. And believe it or not, all the words that I'm going to talk today, they're going to start with the letter C, because we're going to get a full dose of vitamin C this morning. The first thing that we need to talk about and we need to be full of is the comforter. Everybody say the comforter. Amen. So we need the Holy Ghost.
Yes, indeed.
We need the comforter. A book that often gets looked over in the Bible is the Lamentations of Jeremiah. How many this week have read the book of Lamentations? Nobody reads the book of Lamentations, hardly ever, unless we do it in our Bible reading for the year. Why? Because after 52 chapters, if you read 52 chapters of Jeremiah, you tend to want to skip Lamentations. You want to move on to Ezekiel, right? Because Lamentations simply is, all it is in Jeremiah's writings here, it's revealing his deep sorrow and his great sadness for the state of Israel. So that's kind of a, for us, it's kind of a depressing story, because it's talking about, it simply means he's lamenting. He's simply, not whining, but he's crying in deep sorrow for the destruction of Jerusalem and the things that Jerusalem is going through, their backslidden state. So, but if you read in chapter 1, verse 16, you see in his writings here, you see these words, verse 16 of Lamentations. He says, "For these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water." Notice what he says next. "Because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me." Jeremiah says here, he literally is saying, "I weep because the comforter is missing in my life. There's something void right now in my life. He's saying, I need a pain reliever, and it's far from me at this moment in time." If you look back in this same chapter, back to verse 9, he mentions that Jerusalem had no comforter. That's why they were in the state they were in. They were not full of God's Spirit. They were not led by God's Spirit. And without the comforter, one will lament. One will cry out. So we need to have comfort to our lives, don't we? You see, I thank God this morning that we have hope. You see, in John 13, you find where Jesus and his disciples are eating the Last Supper. They're getting everything prepared and ready, and they begin to eat, and Jesus begins to reveal who's going to betray him. And in verse 30 of John chapter 13, you'll see Judas now has left the building, and Jesus begins to have a long conversation with his remaining disciples. This conversation lasts for 4 chapters. I preached this message here, I believe, maybe a year or two ago about how important it is not to miss out on the things of God. And when Judas left this dinner, he missed out on a very important things that Jesus was telling his disciples here. And so Jesus, as he's talking to them for the next 4 chapters, he mentions this word, comforter, 4 times. In verse 26 of this chapter 14, John chapter 14, he says these words, "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." He's saying, guys, he was letting them know, "I'm fixing to be crucified," trying to let them know. He probably was saying, in this long four chapters of this conversation, you're going to forget a lot of things, but I'm going to send a comforter back. And when you're full of that comforter, you're going to remember every word that I said to you from the very beginning. You're going to remember every miracle. You're going to remember every parable that I taught you. Why? Because when you're full of the comforter, you're going to have power from Almighty God. Amen? That's why you need to hear, you're going to hear this over and over again about the importance of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. We hear that a lot in this pulpit, don't we? Matter of fact, our good pastor preached a message, I think maybe just 2 weeks ago, about being full of the Holy Ghost. He used the scripture, Ephesians 5 and 18. What does it say? It says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the what? The Spirit, the Comforter. Be filled with, we're talking about vitamin C here. We're talking about comforting spirit. We're talking about being alive in God. Have you ever thought about this? We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And why did he say, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess? Because wine in those times were used for many things. It was a beverage, of course, to drink. But it was used in, for instance, it was used as a medication. Because you see in Scripture, 1 Timothy 5, let's go to 1 Timothy 5, chapter 23. How many, 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, rather. How many people have you met that use this Scripture? They say, drink no water, no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and then often infirmities. You ever met somebody, they justify their beer drinking and their alcohol drinking and all this with this Scripture? Because I'm going to break this Scripture down for them. And for us this morning, I wish they were here. Maybe they'll hear this on our podcast. Maybe they'll hear this. The key word here is little. You notice that? Drink no longer water, but use a little wine. Sip of wine, you could say, for thy stomach's sake. So they use wine for medications when they had an upset stomach. So he's saying in Ephesians, Paul's writing, be not drunk with wine, because when you're drunk with wine, you're going to be intoxicated. You're going to be enumerated. You're not even going to know what to say or do. You're going to be out of your mind. But he said, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Comforter. You need a full dose of the Comforter in your life, not wine. So many people want to turn to the Southern Comfort. I know y'all don't know what that is, okay? I'm glad y'all don't. They don't want this comfort to be full of the Comforter. But what this world needs and what we need is a full dose of vitamin C. We need the Comforter in our lives. Can I get amen? So how do I get the Holy Ghost? How do I get full of the vitamin C? How do I get this Comforter in my life? Well, that's number two. Communication. Everybody say communication. Every day, we must be in communication with our God. A full dosage of communication to our God. See, I cannot afford, and you cannot afford, to neglect my prayer life. Absolutely. 1 Thessalonians says it well in 5 and verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. What is he saying here? He's saying to stay connected to your God. He's saying stay in communication with your God. Talk to him. Think about him in your mind. Meditate him throughout the day. Meditate upon him, upon his word. Talk to yourself. Sing spiritual songs, it says, and sing in hymns. What we're doing is we're staying in constant communication with God, because we can easily get distracted at work. We can easily get distracted at home when the phone's ringing and everybody's texting us and trying to get in touch with us. But all the while, if we'll just stay with a full dosage of vitamin C and stay in communication with our God, I want to tell you, our lives would be so much better, wouldn't it? There was I don't have this. I know I didn't give Chris these notes, but there's a passage, I believe, in Luke, where when Jesus, after he was resurrected, there were two men walking to Emmaus. And the Bible says they were talking about the events of that day. They were talking about Christ's death, about how he was crucified, and that this was the third day. Y'all remember that story? That this was the third day and he was going to be resurrected. And so as they're talking with this, Jesus just happens to slip behind them and joins the conversation. And as they're walking along, they don't even realize it's Jesus. And so he asked them this question. He says, what manner of communication, he uses that word. What manner of communication are you talking about right now? What why are you talking about all these things? Because they worried and concerned. And so I'm just bringing that story into this message right now, because we need to be careful what we're talking about. Amen. Our conversations, not only do we need to talk about him and talk to him, we need to talk of him and of his wondrous works. That's why throughout every day, you need to talk about the goodness of God. In your mind, you need to get a mindset when everything's going on. I had a very eventful weekend. I had a lot of things happen. I'm not going to bore you with all the details this morning, but I want to tell you I'm happy in the Lord this morning. Why? Because I communicated with God. I thought about the good things that God's done for me. I thought about all the blessings he's given to me. Amen? And you've got to constantly communicate not only about to God, but about what he's done in your life. Which brings us to something else I want to talk about. The third thing is community. Everybody say community. See, this word, community, is a noun that means a group of people who have the same interest, religion, and etc. It also means a unified body of individuals. That's what the word community is. We need our lives to be full of community. We need, you see, this church is a community.
Yes, it is.
It's a body of believers that believe the same thing. Don't we believe in Ephesians 4 and 5? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Don't we believe that? Every one of us here believe that. Next verse says, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. We all believe that message. We believe in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We believe all those things. We're unified. We believe about the importance of the Holy Ghost, about water baptism in Jesus' name. We believe in Acts 2 and 38, don't we? So we need to rub shoulders every once in a while with each other and talk about those things, about the goodness of the Lord, about his truths in the Word of God. Amen? And we need community. I'm probably preaching to the choir this morning, but we need to be reminded about how important community is, how important church functions are. Amen. If we only visit this place once a week, we're doing ourselves a great injustice. And I know most of you, y'all come on Wednesday night, y'all come to every church functions, but for the sake of those that may not be here, that are listening to this on podcast, let me just tell them and tell us and remind us this morning, you need to see the importance of the house of God. Not only the time that we're gathered to worship, but also other fellowship meetings that we have, because it's a community. Our lives need to be full of fellowship. You see, you need to have more than just one best friend. Because if all you've got is one best friend, guess what? One day that best friend is not going to be there for you. One day that best friend is going to hurt your feelings. They do that because we're human. One day that best friend is going to let you down. And if all you've got is you just got that one relationship with one best friend and he lets you down or she lets you down, guess what? You're going to be devastated, right? You need to have many friends. That way when your best friend's not available, you've got somebody else you can call on. Amen? So our life needs to be full of friendships. Our lives need to be full of community. We need to see the importance of coming together. When God was creating the universe, after he completed everything, what did he say? He created the skies, he created the waters, he did all those things. But after he was completed with that day of creation, what did he say? He looked upon it and the Bible says he said it was good, right? But after he did all those things, created man in those 6 days, what did he do? He looked down from heaven, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and he said these words. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. He looked at all his creation and said, you know, it's excellent, it's great, it's magnificent. I did a good job. He's patting himself on the back. But then he said he noticed something, that man was alone. He said, you know, this is not a good thing. I believe it's Proverbs that says, no person, two people need to walk together. I believe, I'm probably misquoting it, but it said, the basis of that scripture is that whenever two people are walking together, when somebody would fall, that they have somebody there to pick them up. You ever read that before? Because we need each other. I need you and you need me. Amen. That's why when a preacher, you don't have to amen me right now, but let me just make this point. When a preacher is preaching in the pulpit, he needs your response. He needs you to look and make eye contact when they say, preach it, pastor. Preach it, evangelist. Amen to that. I believe with you. Know why? Because we need each other. We're working together as a community of the body of Christ. And so when we join together in unity, there's power. That's why when they were in the upper room, they were in one mind and in one accord. And the Spirit of God overwhelmed them because they were all joined together. And so when we get on the same page and we've got a full dosage of community, we're all gathered together. There's no telling what may happen in this house when we get on the same track. Amen. So get behind the preaching of the Word of God, because it's important that we should learn to fellowship with each other, learn to lean upon each other. We need to be at every function of this church. Look at your calendar this month. It's full of things. Going to be more things to come. March 22nd, by the way, men, we're going to the World War II Museum, D-Day Museum in New Orleans. So Mark that on your calendar. There's a lot of great things that's going to happen in this church, other events that are happening. Make sure you attend every one of those things. Why? Because we are a community, and we need to be full of fellowship. Amen? This is a good scripture for this Friday. I just threw this in. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 talks about how we need each other. The scripture says here, notice Paul writes, husbands, love your wives. He didn't say wives, love your husbands. He said husbands, love your wife. Even, then he goes on to say, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. Jesus loved you and I so much. He loved the church. He loved the community that he gave his life for it. He invested his life for you and I.
Yes, he did.
And so what we are asking this year is for you to invest yourself to have a full dose of community, of church, of fellowship. We're having all these things this year because we want your lives to be centered around this body of members. We want you to come to where we can come together and unify this body. Not that we have divisions or distractions; they're going to come and go. But it's we are strengthening one another when we come to the house of God. When we come to these functions, we are filling ourselves a full dosage of community. Hebrews 10 and 25, it says it very well. Not as forsaking the assemblies of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so if anybody is listening to me this morning, I want to make that very clear. We know the day of the Lord is soon upon us. And we don't need to forsake this, not only forsake our God, but we not only need to forsake this place because we need each other. Amen. You and I cannot afford to miss church. My life needs to be full of church. I grew up in a Pentecostal home. And we had revivals, and I know we're not going to go back to that time, but I remember that my life as a boy was full of church. We had revivals. We had prayer meetings. We had different functions in the church. You know what? I didn't miss my parents and my grandparents made sure I was there. I see my grandparents there every time. The doors were open for every function. My parents were always there except when my dad had to work. He worked shift work and he wasn't always there. But my mother was always there for every function. They taught me the importance of the house of God. And no doubt you had parents such as that. But we need to be reminded about, we need to pass something on to this generation that's coming. Because sometimes they'll say, well, I don't see how Wednesday night can be so important to my life. Or I don't see how a birthday party can be so important. Or how a shower can be so important. Am I making sense this morning? These things are very vital to this church. Baby dedications. Everything that we do here is very important for you and I because we're a community. So we need to be full of community. The next thing I want to talk about, number four, is it's character. Everybody say character. We need to be full of the character of Christ. Character by definition means this. The way somebody thinks, the way they feel, more importantly, what I'm talking about in the next few moments, the way they behave. The way I think, the way I feel, the way I behave. That's my character. I love the story of Job because it's one of true character. The Bible says Job was a perfect and upright man. God was bragging on Job, if you read chapter 1. He was bragging on Job, and so he allowed the devil to tempt him, to try him. And so when the devil began to walk out of that courtroom after they had that meeting, he began to strip everything that he possibly could from Job. And after all these things happened, you read the first chapter of Job, man, it's just amazing how many things happened in just a few moments in Job's life. But what did he do? What was Job's reaction when he was stripped of everything? You see, this holy and righteous man losing everything in just a matter of moments. The Bible, you'll see a man of character here because in verse 20 of Job chapter 1, you see, then Job, after you heard all the news, the Bible says he arose, he rent his mantle, and he shaved his head, and he fell down. He fell down upon the ground, and he worshiped. And he said these words, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we could stop right there. We could shout about that. But the next verse shows his character. Look what it says. In all this, Job didn't sin. If you go pick up and read through, I just read the book of Job. If you read through those 42 chapters, You see what all he went through and all the criticism he went through. His best friends even turned their backs on him at some times. They criticized him. And everything that he did, it said, Job, he didn't sin. He maintained his character, his integrity. That's amazing to me how a person could go through all those things. You see, we need a full dose of that kind of character.
Absolutely.
We need the character of men like Job. We need the character of men like Daniel in the Bible, where it says he prayed three times a day. Even whenever it was recorded in God's word, where they said, if you pray, the guys that were planning an attack against him, they said, Daniel's a perfect man. The only way we're going to be able to get to Daniel is in his prayer life. And so they attacked that. And when Daniel heard that he was going to be thrown, even though he was going to be thrown in a lion's den, the Bible says he still opened up his window towards Jerusalem and he prayed. That's character. He purposed in his heart also not to defile himself with the king's meat. You see character in the Bible like Ruth, a woman who lost her husband and decided to leave her land, everything she knew, leave her country. You want to read a love story for February 14th? You need to read the story of Ruth. Because it's about a young lady that left everything behind, even after losing her husband. She followed her mother-in-law, Naomi. Didn't know anything about her God. But she left everything she knew to follow Naomi. And when she got into the land of Israel, and when she got back home, guess what she had to do? She had to go to work for them to eat. And so she goes out and not only works for herself to eat, but she works for her mother-in-law. And then later on, she submits her life to her employer, which was Boaz. You're talking about character right there? You're talking about a person that lost everything, left all her friends behind, left her mother, everything she knew behind, to follow God that was foreign to her. And now she goes into a land and she's put to work and she's gleaning in the fields doing hard labor. And now she's not only submitting to her mother-in-law and feeding her mother-in-law, but now she's submitting to her employer. And now later on the love story begins and she starts seeing Boaz and they get married and the rest is history. We need that kind of character.
Absolutely.
That kind of character. She was full of character. We've got to have our lives to reflect those men and those ladies in the Word of God. And we can do it if we're full of character. If we're full of character. The next, number five, we're going to talk about contribution. We need to learn how to contribute. We need to ask these questions. Is my life full of contributing? You see, somebody said, and I don't know if I heard this in a message or if I read it in a book, but they said there are two kinds of people. There are givers and they're takers. Now, I don't know how true that is, but I do know which side of the fence I want to be on. I want to be a giver. Amen. You see, to keep our lives from growing cold, we need to be full of contributing to the things of God. And it's more than, I'm not talking necessarily about money this morning. I'm talking about giving ourselves to God. Giving ourselves in time, giving ourselves in prayer, giving ourselves in sacrifice, giving ourselves to fasting. I'm talking about contributing, giving help to a person in need, giving help to a group that maybe needs some work done, maybe a cause. But more importantly, we need to give ourselves totally over to the kingdom of God. Lori and I love this time of year because we just received our contribution form. Now you say, well, how can that be exciting time? I can tell you why it's exciting time for me. Because her and I look over of everything that we contribute to this church. You know what it does? I looked over that contribution form, and I began to look at how God has blessed me throughout the year. Starting in January and all the way to the end of December, I can look over Brother John. I can look at how the Lord has blessed me throughout this year. Because in my tithing, I can see how my salary has went up. Based on my tithing. And in my offerings, I can see how the Lord has blessed me abundantly that I was able to give. And so I get excited about that because you know what? I'm a giver. And with great joy, I look over that form and I start thanking the Lord how God has blessed. Lori and I talk about this all the time. We talked about that just a few weeks ago about when we got that contribution form, how the Lord has blessed us this year. And not just in money. I want to contribute more than just money. I want to put my time, my sweat, my labor, my thoughts, everything inside of me into this church, into the kingdom of God. It's a way for us to be blessed financially by giving to God. And, you know, I don't know one day, I don't know if I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and he's going to hand me a contribution form. But if that's the case, which I know it's not, but let's just use that for a few moments. If I stand before the Lord one day and he's going to hand me a contribution form, I hope that all down those pages, I hope it shows times where I gave. I hope it shows times where I got up early and I prayed. I hope it shows times that I fasted. I hope it has tears on those pages where I cried and prayed for my family. We need to learn to be contributors. We need our life full of contributions. Let's break down scripture for a few moments, one that we quote often. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Amen. So he's saying, if I give, then what measure will be given back to me? And he says in scripture, "Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over." So he's saying, if I give, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get a good measure. I'm going to get, let's break it down in biblical terms. I'm going to get a vessel that is not only full, but it's been pressed down. It's going to be shaken to make sure everything's settled. And then on top of that, it's going to be running over. So if I was to take a vessel in biblical times and bring it to somebody and ask them to fill it, that means they're not only just going to pour grain into it, they're going to pack it down. They're going to shake that vessel a little bit, and they're going to put some more in it, and then it's going to be running over. That's what the scripture tells me. If I learn to contribute, if my life's full of contributions, if my life is learned to give to the house of God and to the kingdom of God, guess what? God is going to pack so many things in my life, so many blessings, so much money, so many financial blessings are going to come my way that it's going to be not only come in my life, it's going to be packed in, it's going to be shaken together, and guess what? It's going to be running over. Well, that's something to get excited about, right? Amen? Abundant blessings, it says. And it also says, shall men give into your bosom. But with the same measure, we're talking about measurements this morning, right? Talking about a full dose, right? Shall men with the same measure that you give, he says, for that with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So everything that I pour myself, everything, my time, my money, my efforts, everything I put into the kingdom of God, not only is God going to bless me, but other men's going to bless me.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, y'all, I hope y'all must be listening real good. I'm talking about being full of contributions. Then one final C, the thing that's going to sum this message up this morning. I want to talk about commitment.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about commitment. We need a full dose of commitment. See, commitment will keep you full of the Comforter. Really, if you think about it for a few moments, everything I talked about, it all hinges on this one word, commitment. Our communication with our God, coming church attendance, community, character, contribution, all these things, they hinge on that one word, commitment. For if I'm committed, and if you are committed, guess what? Your life is going to be full of great character. It's going to be full of communication with your God because you're committed to your God. It's going to be full of community coming to the house of God. It's going to be full of all these things, the Comforter, when we are truly committed. We've got to be fully committed because if we're not committed, we're going to stop praying. If we're not committed to the things of God, we're going to miss church. Why do so many have character problems, character flaws? It's because they're not committed. They're not committed to the things of God. And why are so many not given to the kingdom of God, not investing in the kingdom of God? It's because of this one word. They haven't learned commitment. You see, if you can commit, though, your life will be full of the blessings of God. What does the devil want to take away from us? Think about it for a few moments. What does he really want to steal from us? He wants to steal your commitment.
Sure he does.
Because if he can get you not to commit to some things, he's got you. Because the rest is going to follow suit. Your character, your communication with God, all these things we talked about. You're going to quit giving because if he can get your commitment to diminish, guess what? He's got you. So we need to stay full of commitment. Our integrity, our giving, our devotion, all these things hinge on that one word, commitment. You see, commitment fulfills the scripture that I read this morning. Our opening text, Ephesians 4 and 13, let's go back to it. It says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The only way we're going to get to that state is going to have to be committed, right? To come into the full knowledge of God, to come into the unity of faith, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, until we measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ, we're going to have to be committed. You see, if you will begin to digest the Word of God every day as we stand this morning, the Word of God is full of vitamins, full of nutrients for the inner man, for your soul. See, my grandparents taught me to drink a glass of juice every day. I guess they thought I was going to get scurvy because, that, as far as I know, that's the only thing maybe vitamin C has been proven to cure. You know, and that was a good lesson, I guess, to drink, keep my body full of vitamins, full of nutrients, full of things that, antioxidants that can fight disease. But you know what? There's a lot of things going on in this world today that we can't combat with vitamin C. It can't be defeated by penicillin. We've got to have these things that I talked about. We've got to have character. We've got to have the church. We've got to have the comforter. We've got to be full of these things. We've got to learn to contribute. We've got to be committed to our God. My prayer this morning is, let us be Christians that are full of vitamin C, full of the comforter, full of community. And I'm not talking about community coffee, by the way. I'm talking about church. Amen. Let us build and develop character. Let us contribute. Let us commit our lives unto the Lord. Because if we get full of those things, I want to tell you, there's nothing that we cannot do. I want to be full of vitamin C, don't you? I want to be full of all these things I talked about. Amen. Let's put our hands together one more time for the Lord. Hallelujah. So I hope in this lesson today, maybe it was just a reminder to most of us what we need to stay committed to, what we need to do in our lives. But let's stay full of these things. I'm going to turn this service over to our pastor. Why don't we give another hand clap unto the Lord right now? Amen. Thanking him for what he's done in our lives.